My name is Malcolm Shabazz Hoover. We're at Black Futures Farm in Southeast Portland. How did Black Futures Farm come about? Well, we, a lot like MURP, are kind of a direct product of Mudbone Grown and Art and Shantae's effort to start educating people around growing their own food and sustainability and community. Mirabai and I were the co-founders. Mirabai is my partner and co-founder and partner in crime and wife. We participated in a grant project that Mudbone Grown had that became We Grow PDX. And at that kind of, at We Grow PDX, we had another plot that we community gardened at 60th and Simpson in the Northeast. And every Sunday we gathered there to like hang out and grow food and talk and just be together. There's so many confluences. Like the person who had this site before was my teacher for the Master Gardener program, Weston Miller. This where we are used to be the beginning urban farm apprenticeship program. And so they put in a lot of the infrastructure that we came in over. And so that program went out of operation. I was in the Master Gardener program under Weston. I knew him. This was available. We were looking for land to like plant our own farm. And all of it just kind of came together. We took occupancy in the winter of 2019. So this will be our fifth year, but our fourth season growing. We practice low-till, no-till farming. So that means that we don't really till the soil except totally by necessary. And we're working on becoming a clean energy farm.
So a few of the things we do, we grow produce. In addition to growing produce, we grow community. We do that through farming. A good way of doing that is putting your hands in the ground. We do farmers markets, donate to food trucks, volunteers. We also do pop-up days where people can just come out and grab produce. So lots of ways to connect the community. So I'm farming on about 1.15 acres. The total site space is about 5 acres, but 1.15 acres is what we're farming on. And we can put quite a bit of produce, get a pretty big yield out of this space. Lots of Pacific Northwest staples. A few things we grow are culturally specific. So I'll grow things that are really near and dear to me, such as sweet potatoes, eggplant, okra, scallions, there's onions, beets, lettuce, spinach, tomatoes, peppers, onions, chard, collards, kale, cabbage, culinary and medicinal herbs. So lots of things, a few different fruit trees. Yeah, pear, apple. So there's usually something for everybody. So we have quite a few ways to get involved. People could either volunteer. Volunteer days are Mondays between 10 and 1. Or they could, if they don't necessarily have a green thumb or lots of plant knowledge, there's always something that somebody has to offer, regardless if it's in the dirt or not. We'd always love to have experience. More heads are better than one.
We're not a capitalist enterprise. Our goal is not to make money. Our goal is to make change and feed people. And we do a really good job of writing grants with that mission in mind. And we think that what we do is important. And so, not that money shouldn't be the problem, but we have a really small budget and we do a lot of work with like not a lot of money. But even if it was billions of dollars, we would redistribute that money back out to the community where it belongs and is most needed. So we're grant funded. We do have some small revenue stream because we will go to farmers markets and, you know, there are restaurants who do insist on buying our produce. Lewis and Clark is one of those places. Their kitchen buys produce from us. Yeah, and in terms of logistics, we're community-based, so we know we have real-life relationships with the people in these foundations, and we always are just trying to find ways to work together. And so when we find out somebody has a way to like distribute the produce, we want to get it to them. We have a couple delivery vehicles that we just, you know, we load up and we take our stuff over there and they take it and we come back and keep working. Mudbone Grown, Wapato Island Farms, Feed 'em Freedom Foundation, the local food bank folks. We donate across the street to Lane Middle School to their pantry. We donate to a couple other pantries. We're always here to support POC, BIPOC businesses, women-owned businesses, queer-owned businesses. We are in partnership with the flower farmer here, Zandy. We are community-based, so, you know, this is not a commercial enterprise. This is a community enterprise, and so our purpose is to, our specific purpose is to reconnect Black people to the land, but kind of simultaneously and alongside that, we're here to support just our local infrastructure of people who are growing food and learning and growing together and organizing. Like, that's what we do here. I mean, you can come here and hang out with us. You can go to any of our websites. You can go to Black Futures Farm, blackfutures.farm. You can go to Mudbone Grown. You can go to the Black Food Sovereignty, Black Food Sovereignty Coalition, BFSC, blackfoodnw.org. You know, you can come to the Come Through Market. So Black Futures Farm is a founding member of the Black Food Sovereignty Coalition. I'm the chair of the board of the Black Food Sovereignty Coalition also. And we're a program of the Black Food Sovereignty Coalition. Black sovereignty is when you control your own community. You know, when I'm in control of what food comes in here or what jobs are here or where the money goes or how the money is spent, that's sovereignty. You know, when you have control over your own system, that's sovereignty. There's more young people, people of color, who are looking at farming. You know, and like all trends, everybody ain't built for it, you know? And I had to discover that I was, and I had to fail a lot, you know, and shit didn't grow, and there was accidents out here. I was at work one day, and that thing burst because we didn't turn off properly and exploded and was shooting water and ice everywhere, and I had to come out here and I was the only person that could fix it, you know. And we planted things that just didn't grow, or like we had been fighting morning glory, or like, you know, there's all kind of stuff that doesn't work out where it's easy to get discouraged, and nobody would be mad at me if I just walked away from it. But I'm not built like that to walk away from difficult things. And I've learned, this has been a place of great learning for me. And I think that that is also intriguing for people, because so little in our society is built to like truly stimulate you and make you look deeply. And growing will make you look deeply at things and reflect, and it'll slow you down, you know, and calm you and soothe you and excite you. And, you know, like it's, so it's a way of life that a lot of people are rediscovering. I'm in recovery from drugs. And when I worked at the food bank, it was really early in my recovery. And I used to go outside and like hang out with Art and Shantae and just like process. And one day Art says, "Blood, we love talking to you, but we don't get no work done. So if you want to come out here and hang out with us, like do some work." I was like, "Oh yeah, show me what to do. Like, please put me to work, you know?" And so he showed me how to weed. And like, I just was in joy, you know, like the second my hand touched the soil, like that instant, like I started to feel better in a way that I had never felt in a 12-step meeting or in a counseling session or anything. It was like, oh, this is what I need to heal. And so I just stuck with them, and I was out there like every day. And they started inviting me to community things, and like very slowly, not even slowly, but like gradually, this community of farmers and growers, I got to know them, and they became my family, you know. And I met my wife through this community, and like I really love it. Like I really love farming. I love growing things. I love plants. I love the soil. I love all the critters that live in the soil. I love the science of it, the community organizing part. Like I love all of this work. I love all of this. And selfishly, I do it because it's good for the people, but it's also healing for me. And as somebody who's in recovery, who really harmed himself and my family and people who love me, this is where I find my healing, and I'm able to, like, you know, do my best to repair that damage.
It's just fun being out here, connecting, seeing something grow. I've learned a lot of patience in farming, just being really patient when putting stuff in the ground. It's not going to happen overnight. Same thing with anything in life, you know, patience is a virtue. I think that's a quality that I've learned.
Well, just on a practical level, I mean, we need to have more people who know how to grow their own food, you know, like just practically as a skill. Like, you know, you should know how to like work on your car. You should know how to like fix things around your house. You should know how to clean effectively. And you should also know how to grow your own food. And I hope that enough of us stick such that in every neighborhood, there should be several people who know how to grow food so we can share food with each other and like teach our neighbors and like, you know, like there should be neighborhood mechanics and dentists and, you know, doctors and nurses and farmers. I feel like it's a part of being a human being. And also, it's a way to resist capitalism, and it's a way to keep yourself healthy. And like, you know, a lot of the food in the stores is like way overprocessed and treated with chemicals so it looks good. And like, I have a relationship with my food. You know, this, I eat a lot of what we grow here. I eat, I take it home and I make it, and I know it. Capitalism is really interesting because it relies on interdependence, but it relies on interdependence in a way that's exploitive and dangerous and harmful. And we really believe in communalism. I personally, this is my own personal philosophy. I believe in communalism, which is to each his own, you know, or her own, to each their own. You take according to what you need and you give according to what you can. The more people that approach that kind of good spirit, the better off things are for everybody. We can see in real time that climate is changing drastically. And for us to like, as growers and producers, try to like change this food system such that we've extended our growing season, you know, so we put up things to try to access alternate forms of energy in case the grid goes down as it did in Puerto Rico and a lot of other places, to try to find alternate forms of like cold storage. So we're working on an ingrown cold storage model here to try to foster and promote more local growers so that you don't have to go very far to find food. If we promote more people to grow in their neighborhoods, then you won't have to worry about, you'll have to worry less about a food crisis if you're growing food in your backyard and many of your neighbors are. Y'all know that you can keep yourselves fed. So to promote that kind of like thinking and like us looking at different things to grow more, maybe like hotter weather crops or things with an extended season, to teach each other how to do storage, is really meaningful. I mean, to prepare ourselves in a lot of ways to reclaim this knowledge that our ancestors had of like preserving food and storing food and how to process food with like very minimal technology is really important, because we know where this is going. We see how these systems are breaking down or how they get stressed in extreme weather conditions. If we are locally organized and resilient, then we're gonna be okay. If you have good infrastructure and you're cool with your neighbors and you kind of know how to help one another and you know what skills each other have, like you're gonna be a lot better off. And I really am trying to help create that kind of resiliency in this community.
We're coming toward the end of days where people need to be ready and know how to farm, or at least know somebody who knows how to farm. I know we seem so far removed from things because we're in what we consider a first world country, but that's not always the case. So it's good to be able to know how to do this, reconnect to your ancestry, eat foods that are good for you while they're in season, and just being conscious of what's being put in your food or who's growing your food, where your food's coming from. It's good to have a say-so in that. Food sovereignty and food justice are things that we like to talk about a lot. So it's not an end goal. It's something that we've got to continue to do. It means having sovereignty, having control over what you're growing and what you're eating. It's a good feeling not to be told or have to guess what is what and where things are coming from. It always makes me feel good inside when I see someone come out here and say, oh wow, I didn't know an onion grew like that, or that corn or garlic kind of looks similar. So it's always really nice to have that feeling. Just knowing I was a part of the change or doing my part to make things better. Connecting people, all kinds of people, no agenda, just making sure people are taken care of, safe, eating good food, being knowledgeable about food, having control over their food. Just being overall good people.
Tap in with a couple people, tell them you want to volunteer, and then just be present and make yourself useful and let them know that you're trying to be a good part of this movement. And like, you know, get in where you fit in. Like if, you know, you're good at writing, you know, help people write grants. If you're good at harvesting and you have a lot of energy, you know, help them find places for their produce to go. Or like, yeah, if you're good at science, you know, like ask them if they've had their soil sampled. Just be of service. Like try to use what you know how to do or what you would like to learn to be of service, and you'll find a good place to be. I want this to be a place where Black people know that they're safe and loved and valued, and that we center other Black people and we center Black joy and Black liberation. I never imagined that we were gonna be where we are today. So I knew that we were gonna be successful and that people were gonna participate and they would like it here and we would grow good food. I'm confident of that. Like, I'm a good grower, Mirabai's a great grower. Like, I've been organizing for a long time. You know, I really enjoy it and I think I'm good at it. So I knew that those basic parts would be intact. I didn't know that it would become like the magnet that it has become, or that we would get as much positive attention as we have. I didn't know that. But Mira always says, just do the next right thing. And so, because that has been like our guiding philosophy, like what's the next right thing for us to do? You know, how can we be more impactful in our community? How can we hold people and help them? And just be here and be good neighbors and be in good community. If that is our guiding principle and not how much money we can make or how many Instagram followers we get or that old, like, if we're like authentic, if we continue to be authentic and true and like operate out of a space of love for our people in the community, then we're gonna be okay. And that's really all I'm worried about. And so I would hope that that kind of flexible mentality and that thinking of like centering Black joy and Black liberation in your daily tasks and to be solution oriented is something that when you come here and you're around us long enough and you see how this way of we are of working with each other is about that and not about making a dollar, and yet we thrive together, that is like my philosophical take on it. In a material sense, I would hope that we could create Black Futures Farm in ways that make sense in other communities, not just this one, so that there will be a network of Black Futures Farms, a global network, and that we would continue to grow and deepen in these ways of being practically useful to our communities, you know, and being a place of resilience, like a resiliency hub, and of growth and education and nutrition and health. And, you know, like I want, when you come to a Black Futures Farm, you should have a positive experience in so many different ways. You should learn, you should be fed, you should laugh, you should feel safe, you should experience joy and wonder, you know, and I want that to be, I want that to be the legacy. Free the land, free Palestine. Touch some dirt.
Look at you smiling, shining, beaming like the sunshine, rising, climbing, grinding through the hard times, growing, showing up like you're a star. Cause no matter where you stand today, I hope you know you are, hope you know you are worthy of that smile on your face. Know you're worthy. Keep on flowing.